My Journey of Faith Radio with your host, Vicki Petz Henderson, physician, writer, speaker, encourager, and lover of God's Word. My Journey of Faith is a place to inspire, equip, and encourage women in their personal walks with Christ. Here's your host, Vicki Petz Henderson.
Welcome to My Journey of Faith Radio. Thank you so much for joining me today. My guest today is Sue Donaldson. Welcome, Sue.
Thanks so much, Vicki. Great to see you.
Great to see you, too. And I have to tell our listeners about meeting you. First of all, I'm in Arkansas. Sue's in California. And we met in North Carolina. And her gift is one of hospitality. And I love what it says in the handout that I got. It says, I'm an undercover agent. My hidden agenda is to introduce people to Jesus and to one another. I love that. And it's just about connections and connections through hospitality. But I have to tell you that Sue lives what she teaches. And the reason I know that is I was going through a very difficult situation at home when I met her in North Carolina, and I didn't say a word about it. And she stopped me in the hall and said, what's wrong? You saw it on my face and you prayed with me. And I cannot even begin to tell you how much that meant to me.
It was great to meet you and to be part of that, a little part of that journey with you. Because I feel that that's, like when you say it's all about connection, it truly is. And it doesn't mean necessarily at your table. It's ushering people into the presence of God through your own hosting spirit. Does that make sense? I like to call it a putting up your hospitality antenna so that you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, and if you see someone who may want to get to know you better, or you need to get to know them better, then you just invite them into your life somehow.
That's awesome. So you intentionally have your antenna up, looking for people who might be hurting or having a situation.
Let me tell you what happened last Saturday. Today is what, Wednesday? Last Saturday, we had some relatives from out of town, so from Iowa. So we went downtown to look at different restaurants because they're in the restaurant business. So we stopped into this pizza grill place I'd never been to. And my brother-in-law struck up a conversation with the bartender, a young gal. And when she served us the food, I could tell right away. I said, so you're from Australia. You could tell by how she spoke. Yes, I am. So cute. Well, that sounded Southern, but maybe right, so we asked, you know, what brought you to San Luis Obispo? We're a college town here in the central coast of California. And so we were talking to her, and I just said to her, would you like to come for dinner this week? And she looked at me, and I said, you don't need to be scared of us, like I'm somebody weird, but I don't know why I said this. I said, my husband's a doctor, as if that made us not scary people. But she right away turned to my husband and said, what kind of doctor are you? And he said, a good one. laugh. And then she goes, because I have a cold. And I said, honey, you need chicken soup. You don't need a doctor. she's coming. And then I got her. She gave me her information. We had a nice chat a couple different times throughout our meal. And I told her I do this all the time with college kids so she wouldn't feel funny. But she obviously was hungry, maybe for a home-cooked meal. But I think she said she missed her mama. She's probably 22 or 23, and I have college kids, so I get that. And I would love for someone to do that to my daughter up in the University of Oregon. So, you know, look for a cute little quiet Mary Grace Donaldson and invite her for dinner because it just warms a mother's heart. So anyway, she's coming next Wednesday.
That's so cool. I love that. I love that. And that makes me think of two things. One, I did IF Gathering this weekend. Are you familiar with that, IF Gathering?
Yeah.
And Jenny Allen is actually, she went to the University of Arkansas, which is where I went to school, and she talked about a lady that did that very thing with her. And she said now she's reaching hundreds of thousands of people because that woman was willing to have her come over for coffee.
Yeah.
And the other thing it makes me think of is I thought I was the only one that did that kind of thing because recently we were sitting around the table and everyone was telling how they knew me and how we all knew each other. And every one of them, I had just sort of invited them. I mean, I knew them, but I didn't know them well, and I had invited them over to my house. And they go, you're the only person I know that just, like, randomly invites people to your house.
Yeah, I knew I liked you, Vicki.
That's right.
Let me tell you a little pet peeve I have. One is, I guess I probably have several, but this one has to do with hospitality, or really how people view us, because you and I are similar in this regard. Well, you're smarter than I am because you are a doctor, but I've heard people say, well, that's just Sue. She does that sort of thing, which is true. I do that sort of thing because I've seen the blessedness of it. But I don't think that means they can't or they shouldn't. Not that, as Jill Briscoe said in the If Gathering, not that everybody has to do the same thing, but we all need to invite people to Jesus because that's the Great Commission. Now, whether we do it because I invite a bartender for dinner or whether you do it because you're talking to someone in the park with your little children running around your ankles, but we all invite because Jesus is the great inviter. Does that make sense to you? So I guess my pet peeve is being put in a box and saying, well, she's an extrovert, therefore, or she likes to cook, therefore. I mean, I just had someone say, well, I don't talk about your face. I don't enter into your discussion on your Facebook page on hospitality because I hate to cook. Well, I'm going to get back to her on that, but you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily cook. I mean, I might have them come over and not even offer them anything to drink. I mean, I've never thought of hospitality as my gift. For me, it's more about the connections. But
there we go.
But what you're saying is that is hospitality.
That is hospitality. My brother told me once, who doesn't drink coffee, I still love him, but he said to me once, he said, I have learned to always offer a glass of water. So here's a little lesson for you, Vicky. Always and that can be significant when you live in California because we've been in a drought. But I quoted that in my book because, you know, it takes the pressure off that you feel like you have to offer something fancy, like a chai or have something that's homemade. When you don't, all you can say, would you like a glass of water? I've had so many people say, yeah. Or even a friend now, as a result of that, she keeps water bottles in her fridge and offers them to the delivery man and to the gardener and to all these people who are complete strangers. And I thought, wow, that is so true. We're offering a glass of water, which of course is biblical, and makes you think that, hey, maybe there's some, all that is a bridge to a further connection. And the connections are not so we feel good that we're popular or that they feel good because they're less lonely. It's so that they end up in paradise someday with you. I mean, really.
I love that. I love that focus. And I love the simplicity of it because I think we make it so complicated. We think, well, if we're going to have a stranger over to our house, we have to clean our house and we have to have china on the table and we have to have, like you said, chai or something fancy, and we complicate it. So I want to talk about your book. It is delightful. It's Come to My Table, God's Hospitality in Yours. And I just want to read this little bit on the back because I love this. God came right on in when he sent us his son. He held us loud and clear from the cross raised high. Hey there, mankind, I'm here. I made you because I wanted you. I redeemed you because I loved you. You are welcome here. Come to my table. That's beautiful. Well, tell us a little bit about the book. I see recipes, I see tips, I see beauty.
It came, let's see, about, I know it was 21 years ago because my daughter's going to be 21 and I wasn't pregnant yet. So over 21 years ago, I was asked to speak at my first women's retreat because I'm really a speaker who writes, Vicky. That's one thing I learned from that conference we attended. And writing is just extra. But I was asked to speak at a retreat, and I was scared to death then. And all they said was, we want you to speak on hospitality. They must have picked that up for me at the time. And so I wrote a whole series called The Welcoming Heart of God, because to me, hospitality, we do hospitality because God is the ultimate host. He welcomed us first. So to be like him, we need to be hospitable. Do you see that connection? And what a privilege. I mean, it makes me cry almost to think that we could have a part in his drawing people to himself by inviting somebody over for a glass of water. I mean, that's pretty simple. One thing I'd like to say is not everybody has been called to Outer Mongolia to be a missionary or to Wycliffe Bible Translators or to teach in a Christian school or whatever. But we're all, most of us have homes, apartments, tents. Most of us have a table. So it doesn't really matter what your role is. We can all do this. So to me, that gives a lot of, I would say, purpose and credibility to women who feels stuck at home with three little children while their husband goes out into the real world, and yet they can have such an impact on their world that their husband will never enter, nor does he want to, nor would he do a very good job in it, because we have different gifts. And so the women then can say, hey, while I'm here, this is how I can serve God. So anyway, I wrote that retreat series, and then from that came the book. So the book is a third on who God is as our host to us, a third on why we don't do hospitality when we don't, because I know we do, but when we don't, what keeps us from it? And it all comes down to pride, and I have it. Like the other day, I was having somebody over for the first time. I thought, I really should vacuum if it's their first time. You know, I don't know if that's connected to pride or that we have a dog and there's dog hair everywhere. I'm not sure. So it's something I still deal with. I'm not an expert on humility, believe me. And then the third part is the practical. How do you get started? Four steps to get started. 60 tips to help you, like, if you're overwhelmed. Over 75 recipes. Not that I'm a gourmet. I just like to eat. So I put simple things in there. What one person said, well, I just don't have anything on hand. I said, oh. So what, I had four girlfriends come over who are better cooks than I am, and I said, what do you have in your pantry all the time? You know? So think about that. What do you need? Do you need tofu? I don't need tofu, but you might. So always keep that in hand in the freezer. Can you freeze tofu? I don't know. But the idea is that and then this really godly woman, I just adore her. She said, Sue, I keep ingredients in the cupboard for this one particular chicken supreme, because I'll always have a company meal at the ready. What a great tip.
That is a great tip. That is. Right. Preparedness.
I'm chicken supreme. Her daughter-in-law told me once, I have had chicken supreme so many times. I thought, so what? You were invited.
So what are the excuses that people give you? I mean, that they don't practice hospitality.
The one I mentioned, they're not a cook. They're insecure. The main one that came out was that they weren't raised in a hospitable home. I don't know if that's true in the South, because I know you're known for your hospitality. But as far as godly, biblical hospitality, where you don't worry about the fuss, they weren't raised that way. I had a girlfriend who was raised with such extreme hospitality, but it was truly entertaining versus hospitality. So now she was too insecure to have anybody over. The one time she had us over, her husband did the cooking. Not that that bothered me at all, but I was thinking, oh, what she means. She feels insecure. So I would say insecurity from not being raised that way. Insecurity about your home. My house is too small, they told me. My table only has four chairs. I had a gal tell me the other day, I only have baking pans that will fit the size of my family. And I said, let's you and I go to a thrift shop. We're going to increase that. Those are the main ones.
I love that. You just can buy another baking pan, right?
Yeah, right. And not for very much money. And or, you know, make sure you, if people say, can I bring something, you say yes.
Really? So when someone says, can I bring something,
I always say, if it's somebody that's new that I don't know, in other words, I'll say, well, what would you like to bring? Because one time I said to this new friend, I'll let you bring the salad because I don't like to make salads. And then I heard her say, I don't like to make salads either. So when we finally got the meal date down, I didn't ask her to bring a salad. I said, would you like to bring the bread? She said, yes. This is a funny story. She said, 45 minutes before they arrived. I tell you, I don't know them very well. I've seen them a couple times around town. Not believers that I know of. She texts me and she goes, Sue, can I bring a guest? So she added a person to my entree, which I thought was kind of cute, because what if it were one piece of chicken per person, you know?
Yeah.
But it was a big pasta dish, so it didn't matter. And as a result, because she runs an Airbnb in her house, so she was bringing the guests from Spain, which was perfect because my daughter had just gotten home from Spain, and so he was just delighted to be there in another American's home. And, of course, it all worked out. But she also brought then, as well as whatever she was bringing, three kinds of ice cream to add to the dessert. So you don't always get someone that generous or that spontaneous. But, yeah, when people say, if it's a college student, I'll say bring the butter. I mean, if they can't bake.
Make it easy for them.
Make it easy. easy, but make it easy on yourself.
So now tell me about, like, you, I know you want to share Christ with them and you want to share the gospel with them. I know you don't want to scare people off the first time they walk into your home. And I know for me, it's just so much a part of my, of who I am and my conversation and my life that I don't feel like I have to memorize some kind of gospel presentation like the Bridge or Evangelism Explosion or the Faith, an acronym or anything like that. To me, it's just a natural part of who I am. And I hear people all the time talk about intentionality and they're intentional with their conversations. And I don't think I am. I think it just comes out of me. So how would you describe your approach to trying to share Christ?
Well, I don't do any of those things you just said, so that makes me feel better that you don't either. I call it connecting first and sharing as it comes out to for Christ to meet their needs. I mean, I've had a few people come to Christ at my table, but it's after several times at my table where I've said, "Are you ready?" And they say yes and grab my hand and they accept Christ. That doesn't happen every day. I feel like hospitality is often seed planting. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So, like I met with this one gal who sold me Mary Kay. I didn't even like Mary Kay, but I knew I needed to be in her life. And so, this was over several years. The first time came, she was a pedicurist at a beauty school. And I just said to her when she started working on me, how's your love life? I just said it as a kind of a joke. And she said, my boyfriend broke up with me last night. And I said, would you like to come for dinner tonight? And she did. You know, and then years later, she became a Mary Kay consultant and was married and having some struggles. So when she dropped off the Mary Kay, we were in the next room. I mean, my family was in the next room watching the news, getting ready for dinner. And I just said, you need Jesus. Are you ready? And she said, yes. So that doesn't happen very often, Vicki. I'm not this big evangelist, but I have a heart for, God's given me a heart to invite the stranger, and then they become a friend, and then, like you say, this is the way you are, it flows out. But you and I know it does not flow out unless we're filled up, you know?
Yes, that's so true. And I've always said I want to live my life in such a way that people want what I have. But I think I love the most that you have that antenna up and you're looking for that woman who maybe is lonely or struggling.
Yeah. Yeah, I met this gal at a women's retreat who lives in my town and she told me her story and I thought, wow, I just felt so drawn to her. You know, we can't, Vicki, you and I are outgoing, but we cannot meet everyone's needs. We can't have the world for dinner. My husband keeps reminding me of that. And that's good because I get exhausted. I'm old now and I don't like to work out. So I do need to, I'm not saying you invite the world, but you invite the world that God lays on your heart. And so this young gal, later on I texted her and said, would you like to come for lunch? And I was having a bunch of older women over, women who are strong Christians, over for my house for lunch. And she was working. She took time out of her work schedule, came, she poured out her heart. Now we're like, mentor, mentee, you know, but that's over years.
Yes, it is. It is. That is exciting. That is wonderful. And God does. He brings certain people into your path. And you said you're drawn to them. Do you also find that people are kind of drawn to you to just spill their guts and tell, like, I know my mother's kind of that way. People, total strangers will come up and start telling my mom their life problems.
Right.
They sense that openness. They sense that approachability, I guess. I bet you have that.
I do, and but you know, that's the way Jesus is with me. I can pour out my heart with him, and if I don't take time to do that and be refilled with him, I don't have any resources for others. Let me tell you a story. This happened last, I think, Tuesday. I had prayed in my quiet time that morning. Lord, I wasn't sure what I was going to do that day. I mean, I had lots of things I could do, you know what I mean? But I gave my life over to him, and maybe it was Monday. Anyway, it doesn't matter. By that night, when I was FaceTiming my daughter in Guatemala, and I was getting kind of impatient with her deal, and later my husband said, I think you might need to text Bethany back. I think you were a little impatient. He rarely says that, so I knew I needed to hear it. And I said, oh my gosh, I had so many people needing me today. I was like overdone. And then I reminded myself, oh, I asked God to take my life today. And this is what he did. He just let everybody glom onto me. And he knew I could do it. So I had a really great conversation with my daughter later that night. And I thought, isn't that great? He answered my prayer. And I was whining about it.
Yeah, you have to be careful about that. I have that a lot.
I don't believe that he won't give you more than you can deal with, because I think that draws us closer to himself. But I do believe that he will give us the strength when we ask him. And I was not asking, I was complaining.
Yes, I'm definitely guilty of that myself. I plan more than can be done in a day and then wonder why I'm stretched so thin. Well, talk to us a little bit about your ministry. I know you have the book, so if you'll just, you know, tell our listeners about your book and your blog and your speaking. And where they can find you online.
Tell me when I need to shut up. So what, there's just a couple minutes left. Is that right?
Oh, we have time.
Okay. Wrote the book as a result of retreat speaking. My mentor, Lori Potratz, she and her husband own the Parable Group. She told me years ago that I needed to start meeting with women for whom the book was for. Like women in their, that could be any woman, but let's say mid-30s, small children. So I met with two girlfriends who are expecting their third child so that I would write a Bible study. So I have a companion Bible study. It's called Hospitality 101, 12 Bible Studies on Learning Hospitality, something like that. I don't remember the title. But I finally finished that last summer. And it's not a companion piece. You can do the two books separate. Some people just want to, I would say the main book that we talked about earlier is more of a how-to and the motivation. The second book is you study how God is our host. We respond to him. We RSVP to him, just like we would as, like if you invited me over, I would RSVP to you. And then the third section of each chapter is a practical, let's go out and do hospitality this week. But it's very mild, like you take tiny steps. And so women have been buying that because it's only $10 and it's something they could do with girlfriends in their home for 12 weeks. So that's been kind of fun. So that's the second book. But as I say, I'd much rather speak than write because I have to hold still when I write. It takes too much self-discipline. But I have 7 retreat series. I'm doing 3 this spring. The 7 retreat series are on my website, welcomeheart.com. Just look under speaking. The most popular one so far is Road Trip with God. So much fun. And just talk about traveling confidently. It's all, you know, word-based. How to become grown up in Jesus is basically the theme for all the retreats.
I love it.
That's it. And there's also something called the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pillows, which I started years ago when I spoke on contentment, because it's hard for a woman to be content in general. And so I thought, how am I going to teach women to be content when I'm not content half the time? It has to do with being grateful for what you have. And so my kids had just seen the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. And I had just bought 2 pillows at Pottery Barn at 75% off. That one said give and the other said thanks. And I sent them off to a friend in Portland. And I said, let's start the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pillows. And I wrote down 10 things I was thankful for, which was not easy because we were in the middle of a 13-year remodel, no ceiling, et cetera, no walls. And I was saying, I am grateful for, and I included the remodel. And then she wrote down my 10 things and then her 10 things in a journal and sent them to somewhere. The pillows are probably in a landfill in Idaho somewhere. We're not sure where those original pillows are. But I do have pillows being made by Etsy Gal in Wisconsin. And they're small, and you hang them up, and they smell good because we smell better when we are grateful women. And you write down what you're thankful for, hold on to it for 2 weeks, and then you give it to a friend. And so it's traveling contentment, traveling gratefulness. So you can get those on my website, too.
I cannot tell you how much I love that. I am going to order one of those pillows, I promise. That is the coolest thing ever.
Oh, I spoke at a MOFSA, whenever it was, in the fall. And this gal bought one, and then she's sending it through her whole women's retreat committee, and then I'm speaking at the retreat next month. So they're already primed, you know, to be grateful and traveling companions. And
I love that, and I think that intentional gratefulness is so critical. I mean, that is critical. That is how we are content. That is how God commands us to be, and that is huge. I just love that.
And one thing I'm going to add to, a friend had pointed that to me. So, Sue, it's not just gratefulness, it's because my motivation is to connect women. You connect to another woman in your thankfulness. Excuse me. So, in other words, if you have cancer and you're writing down what you're thankful for and you give it to a friend who knows you have cancer and they only have a hangnail, they go, wow, Vicki can be grateful of what she's going through. It motivates them, you see?
Gives you perspective.
You're not saying to them, hey, you're not being a very good Christian because you're not being thankful. You're just being grateful. And they read yours, they write theirs, and they pass it on to someone else.
That is so cool. So does it explain all of that when you buy the pillow?
Inside the book, it has the instructions. You can connect to me on it. If you can always email me if there's a question. Some people want to hold on to their pillow. I say, no, you need to pass it on. That's the whole deal. buy more than one if that's the issue. And some retreats have bought them all for like 80 women coming into the retreat. And so when I speak on it, the third talk is traveling gratefully. I say, your retreat committee has a present for you. And they bring it out like it's an Oprah thing, you know. But, of course, they have paid for it because they just raised the price of the retreat. And I give a price on those because they're kind of expensive because they're handmade.
I love that. That is my favorite thing ever. I love it.
Get on the website.
Well, great. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing, for opening your home today and sharing your heart and just for noticing women.
Can I add one more thing?
Absolutely.
I would like to invite your audience to join my, if you are on Facebook. I started right after She Speaks, a Facebook hospitality page, but it's a private group, so you just need to ask me if you want to join. With your Facebook handle, and we just talk about how to make a good tuna salad or why we don't do hospitality when we don't, whatever. It's called Welcome Heart, Welcome Home.
All right, and I will put those links on this interview so that people can just click and go directly there.
Vicki, you've been delightful.
It's so great to see you, Sue. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.